Okay, part two. Hey, this Bible, it's divided into two parts. The what? The whole thing's about old and new. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the old one. What did he do? He fulfilled it. What does that mean? He was the one that all that thing was about. He was the one that it was pointing to. So when you can read that Old Testament, you find the wrath is not poured out on you anymore. There's no judgment poured out on the believer. Only the promises are poured out on the believer. Does that make sense? So the whole Old Testament, the law, the Psalms, the prophets, Jesus said the law, the Psalms, and the prophets was written about who? Him. And he was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, listen, he goes, you pore over the scriptures day and night. Not realize, you're trying to find life in it, is what he said. Not realizing that it all testifies about him. Does that make sense? And I see Christians kind of doing the same thing. Do this more, fast more, do that more, be more repentant. Give me some that you guys have gone through. Yeah, get into the word more. Go to church more. Have more faith. Volunteer more. I was going to talk to you about that, bro. No, I'm joking. I'm messing with you. Anytime you have to do more, what is that giving you the signal? I don't have something, right? Jesus fulfilled it. That's what he said. So now all things are yours. That's what the whole, by the end of the book, he said, we don't have to weep anymore. We rejoice because I found one. It says, we've looked to and fro. We can't find any man to go do this. So God goes, I'm going to do something nobody expects. I'm going to come down and fulfill all those types and shadows myself. And myself, God's going to become man and be perfect in all of his ways so that all of you can inherit his work. You guys get it? So the old covenant, you're a servant. The new covenant, you're a son. To the Jewish mind, a son meant I have everything that's in that household. I'm a son of the firstborn. Does that make sense? That's why it says, hey, if you believe in Jesus, you're a joint heir. That meant something to the Jewish mind, and I'm trying to explain it to you what this whole thing's about. It means you're a son now. Everything's for free. He goes, listen, if I gave you my life when you were dead in your trespasses, how will I not freely give you all things? That's why faith worketh by love, not your love for him. That'll get you just into works as fast as anything. Well, you got to love people more. God won't answer your prayer if you still hold a grudge against this person. Is that true in the new covenant? Absolutely not. Is it a good idea to forgive them? Yes, because it'll kill you. You end up judging yourself. It says the same measure you judge, you're judged. Does that make sense? So if you're judging to other people, not that God's doing it, who's going to do it to you? Yourself. Other people are going to judge you if you judge them. That's common sense. Does that make sense? Nobody likes to be around the nitpicker. No, everybody hates that. You know what they love to be around? Man, that Arnold, he's such a great guy. How do you get sparkle, man? Arnold's mildly retarded. See how guys can say that kind of stuff, right? Then I give you a fist pump. Some of you guys seen that. What's that show? Ice Age. Beth got it. Ice Age. Where he's telling them, go talk to that guy. Because I gave him a fist pump, man. It's worth 6 months of therapy to a guy. I go, I totally relate to that. I do. If somebody gives it, man, you're a stud, and he gives you a fist pump, I'm like, yeah, I am a stud. That's how guys are, ladies. We're weird. We're just strange. So you give me some Barb. She goes like, why do you hit your boys? They think it's cool. They do. I hit them, I punch them, and they start laughing. And girls be like, ow, why'd you do that? Guys like, no, that's therapy, man, to a guy. Look at, he's bleeding. It's awesome. It's beautiful. Look how much I love this guy. It's the locker room. Men understand. Dave, you understand this, right? Isn't it? It's like the fraternity. So, ladies, just relax with us. We are strange beings, and you're more strange. So, that's okay. We think it's weird. You don't understand that. Anyway, so I'm trying to get this whole thing to you. The old one's about something you have to do, works, etc. The new one, Jesus said, you can't do it. I've looked for a man, you can't do it. So I'm going to come and fulfill it. I'm going to be the type and shadow. I'm going to be the real thing. So Scripture says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What does that mean? The old covenant was a picture. When they would bring the lamb to the high priest, they would slay it. They knew that, hey, their sins were forgiven. The righteousness of the lamb was transferred to them. And they knew they were blessed in covenant with the Father. Right? The real one is in heaven, is what it says. The spiritual one, where Jesus ascended into the throne, is what Hebrews said, with his own blood and sat down. Now every blessing is yours. You just, why is it spiritual? Because you have to believe it. It's nothing we do here. It's a spiritual thing. That's all it is. Does that make sense? It's beliefs. What we believe is very powerful, is it not? I'm going to show you some of the science behind it today. But what I'm really trying to show you is the work's over. You don't have to work to be blessed by the Father. You're unconditionally blessed. You have every spiritual blessing. If you require anything as a covenant partner, you simply require it. Ask for it, is what it says. If he's got it, bring to remembrance. That Hebrew term, remembrance, means if my covenant partner has something I need and I don't have it, I simply need to ask him for it, and he's obligated by blood. I would have to die before I don't give this to my covenant partner. That's what Jesus means in this new covenant, that when we ask him for it, you can go home assured, I have it. That's why there's no weeping. Does that make sense? Okay. Does that help you guys? All right. Solomon, we're talking about hitting each other. It's pretty fun, isn't it? Yeah. You might go, I don't know. But no, boy, this is what we do. We hit each other, and well, guys understand this. All right. I want to share something with you. And this is just some of the physics behind this. And here's what the spiritualists, the New Agers, positive mental attitude guys, I love most of these guys because they're just taking what we as believers are supposed to do and go reign in life. The thing they don't have, though, is they don't have, they're performing, guys, better than most believers. And I can tell you why, if all these things are true, why am I not freely receiving it? I'm telling you, you don't feel worthy. There's something going on here where you don't feel worthy yet. You made this mistake. You did this. I don't want to start picking sins because people get all bent out of shape about that, but pick one. It really doesn't matter. It says if you've picked one, you're guilty of them all. So you are everything. You're a murderer, tax cheat, adulterer, everything. Amen? But Jesus said, my blood is supposed to be a rest for your conscience. I'm perfect from him forever, is what it says. Amen? So what they don't have, they're still outperforming most believers. We have. We have a rest for our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Like, you didn't see me snort that line of cocaine? Yeah, I saw you, and I still died for you because I love you that much. That's what I'm trying to get across to you guys. Does that make sense? Now, when you receive that, the only thing that's going to get them out of that, they might be able to do it. Some of you guys, hey, I came out of addiction because of my willpower. Yeah, but you know what? It's there yet. Until you can realize that that's not me anymore. I put off that old man. I've been circumcised. That old man is, I can put on the new man of righteousness where he treats me, favors me, blesses me through all my mistakes. That will get you to lead to change, is what it says. The goodness of God will get you out of that. When you finally believe, you mean I am worthy because he's worthy? Hallelujah. Now you're starting to experience his life. Does that make sense? So what you're experiencing right now is really all the belief systems that you have in your heart. Where it says, you know what? As a man thinketh in his what? Heart. That's not this. So is he. And I'm going to cover that a little bit more. I'm going to delve into that next week on guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the extremities or the external boundaries of where you're going in life. So if there's things that keep happening to you over and 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 over, why is this happening to me? I'm telling you, you have a wrong belief system. It's that simple. And the spiritual warriors are trying to cast demons out, and that's not working. They're throwing you in streams, and that's not working. They're doing all these things, except for the real thing is share the gospel. Let them see how God sees them. Give them his unconditional love, faith, the reality that all these new covenant promises are real works when you know how much he loves you, is what it says. Does that make sense? Now, I just want to share the science with it a little bit, because this is fun to me. And this is so real. You can go look up Dr. Carolyn Leaf, you know, hers, there's heart physics, Jim Richards, all these different guys, but for example, consider following, how many could have, would have, should have statements have you made today? How many if onlys were part of your vocabulary? Man, I wish I went to made that mistake 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and you're still living with that. Does that make sense? How many times have you replayed in your head a conversation or a situation that you pained or that one hasn't even occurred yet? That's called worry. You're meditating on things that haven't even happened yet. Follow me? Faith comes from meditating on the assurance that all of this is going to be okay, and you can get the same high as the same low of the worry. That's why I don't like the feelings don't count. I go, they matter the world to me, because I've seen people try act in faith, and then they weep behind the curtain and go, well, I can't do this, and they're falling apart. Does that make sense? So your emotions just really detail what's going on in your heart right here. What do you really believe about yourself? And the good part is you can change it. That's what I'm trying to show you. We're so fearfully and wonderfully created that if we focus on these things, and I'm going to show you, he clearly tells you what things we're supposed to focus on. Why? That increases your capacity to freely receive every New Testament promise. He's not withholding it. He says, I withhold no good thing. Right? What's holding us back? It's us. It's our belief systems that hold us back. So it's, you can limit the Holy One of Israel. So how much speculation is taken today? How honest are you with yourself? Are you at cross purposes with yourself, going through the motions but not really committed to the goal? Saying one thing externally, but in your heart you believe something else, right? That's famous. People go, fake it till you make it. I go, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. I don't care how long you say that. You'll never make it. And I'm going to show you some cool stuff. So, do you ever make comments like, nothing goes right for me. Everything I touch fails. I always mess up. Hey, welcome to the club. I'm not condemning you. Just, we've all do that in certain areas of our life, don't we? And those are that we didn't guard our hearts. Something came in there. Typically, between 7 and 17 years old, we start believing the wrong thing. It's not a generational curse, guys. What it is we've picked up things from our parents, from our surroundings, etc. That becomes a belief system. It literally becomes a stronghold where this is how far you get to go. And I don't care how good it is. I don't care how the promises is. This is all the further. Here, I got the good news. You can change it by believing the right thing. That's all it is. Isn't that cool? So I just want to share a couple of these scientists. These guys are total weirdos, so I'm not going to give you my source, but they're brilliant. Does that make sense? I just want to share some things with you. The heart, like the brain, it's the real you. He's talking about the physical heart there. Generates a powerful electromagnetic field. The heart generates the largest magnetic field in the body. The electromagnetic field, as measured in electrocardiogram, is about 60 times higher in amplitude than your brain waves on an electroencephalogram. Hey, it measures your brain versus your heart. And so I wrote in my notes, what's in your heart affects those around you. So here's what that means. Is ladies, you're really good at it, and guys, we have to learn it, but you can sit in front of somebody, and they're saying something, but the lady goes, I just don't trust that guy. You know why? Because his heart, who the real him, is 60 times more powerful than what he's saying in his brain. Does that help you guys? And that's why I think sometimes if you're in business situations or whatever, your heart is condemning you, even though you're saying the right thing. Man, I'm always doing this right, whatever. Why isn't this working? Because you haven't changed this yet. And so you can say all the right things. That's why I don't believe in fake it till you make it at all, because your heart is 60 times powerful than what your brain is saying. Isn't that amazing? Let me share one other thing with you. This is the really trippy part, which I like. I like this kind of stuff. All right. Confirmed by science, you really can change your DNA, and here's how. I know Carolyn Leaf talks about that. Jim Richards talks about it. Literally, the very core makeup of you, every time your heart beats, and we've talked about that actually a little bit, but it actually says, Shaddah, Shaddah, Shaddah. It actually says the Almighty One. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Every time your heart beats, it praises the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So, just some cool stuff, but here's what it says. Stem cells and even DNA can be altered through magnetic fields. We just heard your heart has an electromagnetic field that's 60 times more powerful than your brain. Does that make sense? So the stem cells and even your DNA can be altered through magnetic fields. Heart coherence, all heart coherence is fancy terms. These weirdos are, means believe in love and all the things you're supposed to talk about. Scripture talks about love, joy, peace. Hey, that, he calls it heart coherence. We call it scripture. Positive mental states, intention. The DNA we're born with is not the sole determinant for our health and well-being. Stem cell biologist Bruce Lipton, PhD, discusses the important difference between genetic determinism. It's a fancy way of saying, I was born this way. I can't help it. These are in my genes. I just got to tell you it's wrong. You can change your genes. This is what's amazing about this. You can change the very DNA. And so the difference between these two, determinism and epigenetics, meaning I can change my genetic makeup by what I believe. Isn't that amazing? The difference between these two is significant. This fundamental belief called genetic determinism literally means that our lives, which are defined as our physical, theological, emotional, behavioral traits, are controlled by the genetic code. This kind of belief system provides a visual picture of people being victims. Amen, brother. I was born this way. We're all born messed up. We're of the first Adam. Don't give me that. If the genes control our life function, then our lives are being controlled by things outside our ability to change. Wouldn't that suck? Hey, you were just born this way. This is how you are. He goes, but you're fearfully and wonderfully created. You're like me now. You're created in my image. All of you guys are brilliant. All of you guys can do what anybody else can do, literally. They just did it differently. They thought about it, and they really recreated their DNA. I'm going to show you some stuff that's just wild here. This leads to victimization, that illnesses, diseases run in families are propagated through the passing of genes and associated with those attributes. Laboratory evidence shows this is not even true. Now, you take it on, like I've seen this in families. They go, my dad died of this, his dad died of this, his dad died of this. You know what? You start believing that, you're going to die of that. So what are you supposed to believe? Think on these things. Bring every thought to the obedience of what? Christ. He loves me so much that he's redeemed me from all that nonsense. Hallelujah. That's what you keep your mind on, and that'll reprogram your DNA, and that becomes the real you. Does that make sense? I'm just giving you the science behind why faith works, why Scripture works. It's kind of cool. So Lipton's theory is confirmed by Carlo Ventura, MD, PhD, professor and researcher at University of Bologna in Italy. Dr. Ventura has shown that through lab testing that DNA and stem cells can be altered using magnetic frequencies. What do you believe? It actually alters your DNA, right? Two Nobel Prize winning scientists discovered even non-stem cell adults can be epigenetically reprogrammed, meaning, hey, I'm not born this way. That's fine if you're born that way. The good news is transform your mind and be unborn. All things are new. Does that make sense? You're a new creation. You guys get it? I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. My family's this. My family's, hey, guess what? You're born into the name of Jesus now. You're born into the family. The veil's been torn. You're back into the family of God. Enjoy it. That's what I'm trying to show you, all right? So this is really wild. Non-stem cell adult cells can be epigenetically reprogrammed backwards to a state where they can eventually give rise to neural cells, cardiac cells, skeletal cells, insulin-producing cells. I wrote, meaning, I'll be what you want me to be. Your heart determines where what you want. And this is the part I want to get to. According to the Institute of, this is weird institute, I'm not going to get to that. This is all these PhD scientists and strange people. But what's fascinating to me is, the science, they're like, I can't believe this. This is actually happening. All these things are working. So after 2 decades of study, the researchers discovered factors like love and appreciation change your DNA, and so does anxiety and anger influences a person's blueprint. And one experiment, select participants were able to change the DNA with mental states. Here's what they're saying. An individual holding 3 DNA samples. So here's literally what they did. They give you, hey, exhibit A. They give this guy up there, and they have DNA samples in their hand. So now I want you to think about love and all these things over here, and I want you to be angry over here. The individual holding the 3 DNA samples was directed to generate heart coherence, meaning think on these things. Think on the right things, okay? A beneficial state of mental, emotional, and physical balance and harmony. God, that would be beautiful if Christians actually did this. With the aid of techniques that utilizes heart breathing, intentional positive emotions, the individual succeeded as instructed to intentionally and simultaneously unwind the 2 DNA samples. Guys, so here's a person. Go think about good things, and it literally unwound the DNA samples and reprogrammed them. And then the other one says, think negative things, didn't touch that DNA. It became programmed into that DNA. So what you believe determines the life you experience, affects your health, prosperity, everything. Now what's really cool about this, how many of you guys have ever heard this? Hey, get around people that you want to be like. Ever heard that? You know how it works? They're 60 times the electromagnetic field what's in their heart starts to reprogram your DNA. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's why sometimes I go, man, I got to take those people in doses. Just because it starts to affect me. You guys all know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? But there's other people like, man, I just can't wait to get around them again. This is what's happening. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So that's why we are supposed to be the lights of the world. We're supposed to believe on these things, not judge people, share Christ's love with them, not condemning. You know, Bill Surface and I were talking earlier about the Muslims. I go, some of the Muslims are some of the easiest people to reach. You just give them unconditional love and they change. You start going, Christians this, Muslims this. I go, you're an Ishmael. You're just like them. You're just as angry as them. Right? Does that help you? So the science behind it. Now let's go through some scriptures. You don't think I've completely lost my mind. So, all right. But here's the bottom line. Where it says, hey, he came unto his people and his own received him not. But as many as believed or received, is what it says in the different testaments, he gave them the authority to become sons. It's the spiritual blessing, not an earthly lamb. I believe all that happened as a type and shadow. He fulfilled it in heaven, and now all those promises are yes and amen to me. That's what I'm trying to show you. So every promise in there is now yours if you simply, it's mine. So how are you going to be assured that it's yours? You got to be told it's yours. That's why faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the message of Christos. Faith does not come from hearing. You got to get sin out of your life, and then God will bless you. It'll judge you. Good luck. Does that make sense? Why? Because it's not love, joy, happiness. It's reprogramming your DNA. And you know what's going to end of the day do? I just suck. And I'll never get out of this situation. I was born this way. This is how my family always is. This is what's going on. I can never get out of this. I can always do this. I'm just telling you, we're so fearfully, wonderfully made. program yourself with nothing but the good news, and you'll start to experience it. Does that make sense to you guys? So what I'm trying to show you is all things are yours, not because you got some anointing and this prophet came in and that prophet came in. I go, you're going to chase prophets. This is what you're going to do. Jesus was the fulfillment. He said, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets all testified about me. Prophecy in the new scripture is the testimony of Jesus Christ, is what it says. You guys get it? You got a bunch of fortune seers coming around trying to prophesy over you. It should totally confirm what's already in there. It's really a word of knowledge in the new covenant. That's why Paul says, listen, all these spiritual gifts are great, but I wish that all of you would prophesy. What does that mean? Tell people about Jesus. That's all that is. People get so confused. I'm a prophet. You're an idiot. Prophesy about Jesus. Sorry. They wear me out. Hey, this prophetess is coming in. Oh, Lord, she's going to scream at me. You ever see a happy prophetess? Never have. Show me one. I've never seen one. They're all angry. They're all wound up like a top, man. I just haven't. Show me one and I'll be happy to see it, but I've just never seen a. They start putting labels on there. I'm a prophetess. I'm like, your husband cries himself to sleep every night. What happens there? So, sorry, I'm just trying to be as real as I can. Is that true? That's why you're laughing. It's like Seinfeld. Prophets are mean, man. So, because they don't realize I'm supposed to be testifying about Jesus. The spirit of testimony in the new covenant is a prophecy of Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. That's what prophecy is. Old Testament prophecy, this is going to happen. New Testament prophecy, hey, it happened. Here's the good news. Is that simple? All right. Maybe if you're a prophetess, your joy is not full right now. Sorry. But I'm telling you, you're missing it a little bit. You're missing it. What you're really getting is words of knowledge. Tell people about how good they are. Does that make sense? Because what Jesus has done for them. All right. Okay, Matthew 20, I just want to review a little bit. Hey, the Old Testament, I told you what the scapegoat was. It says, you know what? They're going to bring two goats on the Day of Atonement. One lot is for the Lord and one's going to let free. The word scapegoat literally means somebody who came that was innocent and took the fall. That's where we get the scapegoat, right? So one lot fell on Jesus, the other one was let go. So that was the Old Covenant. Does that make sense? So they sacrificed one and his blood went into the holiest of holies. And everybody else was let free. Now, the New Testament fulfillment, so Jesus says, I was the fulfillment of all those stories. All those things back there actually mean something. So Matthew 27:20, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. This is the real scapegoat coming on right now. We've showed you that. The governor answered and said to them, which of these two do you want me to release to you? And all the people in the answer said, his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So who was the scapegoat? Which lot was for the Lord here? Jesus. Because he literally said, hey, I was the real lamb. I took my blood and went to the holiest of holies. And I placed my blood there. See, on the Day of Atonement, it would happen once a year in the Old Testament. Jesus said, I did it once for all. I went into the holiest of holies and shed my own blood on the throne. And then I sat down because it's what? Fulfilled, finished. It's over. The old one's over. Does that make sense? All right. Barabbas. Now, I wanted to show you a little Hebrew. So it leads right to left. So bar is Aleph Bet. You guys understand the Hebrew alphabet, right? Aleph is the ox, the first letter. That's where we get alphabet, because the first two letters in Hebrew are Aleph Bet. So Aleph means an ox. Bet means, is no? The house. He's the strong man of the house. The very last one, he says, hey, I'm the Alpha Omega, I'm the Aleph, I'm the Toph. So Aleph, the very first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, is an ox. Toph, anybody know what Toph is, the very last one? The cross. I'm the ox on the cross. I'm the Aleph Toph, I'm the beginning of the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. Everything about that book is written about me, not about something that's going to fall on you in God's wrath. Everything's in there about me. I was the ox on the cross. So when we say get into the word more, what are we telling them to do? Realize he was the ox on the cross. Realize in the center of heaven, behold, everything is worshiping that there was a lamb in the center who was worthy to redeem us, to restore honor, power, glory, riches. He restored you and I, mankind, back to our high place of grace in the Father's family. No struggling for it, no whatever, just believing. I believe that happened, so that's who I am today. You guys get this? Now, faith, we mix this up because when I talk to people who are really focused on faith, I go, tell me about Jesus. And they can't do it. Well, it's, yeah, he died and rose again, and now I'm saved. What does that mean? It's up to you from now on, Arnold. He's done everything he's going to do. I'll suck it up and get more faith. You ever heard that? I have. Kills you. Faith works when you love. Not my love for him. When you realize he loved you so much that you were dead in sins, he died for you. How will he not freely give you everything else? But you got to pray and fast for it to get the anointing. That's not free. His disciples went out and healed the sick, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, cast out demons. He said, freely I've given you, now freely go disperse it. They were shocked by it. They didn't have a supernatural level of faith. They came back to Jesus and said, even the demons listen to us. Isn't that what they said? So they weren't men of God that got all this faith. They were surprised. That's what I'm telling you. Go try it. You'll be surprised. Man, I carry God's anointing? Yes, just try it. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel anything. I need to pray fast. No, no, call the pastor. Don't call me. I won't answer it. I'm trying to get you to rise up to the same level of stature of Christ, so I'm out of this deal. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. So, hey, who did they release? And if you go look at that in Matthew, it says Barabbas was a well-known criminal. Who's that? You and I, man. We're the well-known criminals. We don't deserve to be released. But guess what? Jesus was the one that the lot fell on the Lord and he delivered his own blood. So release Barabbas, the one who's guilty. And what does Barabbas mean? Bar is the son of Abba. Because we're released from everything we're guilty of, we can say, Abba, Father. We're the son of the Father now. You guys get this? See, he's the fulfillment. All right. So let's go into this. And I'm trying to show you this because I'm just trying to get this into you, not increase your faith, just get you to have it. Persuasion. See, we've already said we can program our DNA. So if you focus on the right thing, that thing you're worrying about, you'll actually be persuaded with that high. You'll be just as persuaded if you focus on the right thing. But if you go, facts don't count, I have faith, I'll probably see you in my office. Because you're going to go wear yourself out. You're supposed to focus on the right thing until you're persuaded of it. And see, the covenant was supposed to be, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of who? Me. He goes, whenever a thing doesn't make sense, remember you're in covenant with me. And I can't deny myself. So our faith is supposed to, Arnold, this was part of your ministry, goes, these two things that are unbreakable in the book of Hebrews, his oath and his, what does he say, the oath and the, he swore it with an oath, and this covenant, basically, he did a blood covenant, basically. He goes, those two things are supposed to be the anchor to your soul. So when your brain's going, wah, crazy, right? You're supposed to go, wait a minute. He swore, and he can't lie, and he shed a blood covenant. Those are supposed to anchor what you believe in. My wine, will, and emotions. So it's not your level of faith that produces, guys. It's your faith in his faithfulness. I know I suck at this thing. So Lord, I'm going to trust in your faithfulness because you can't deny yourself. I'm trying to make it as blunt as I can. Does that help you guys? Okay. All right. So we just said we were guilty, but Barabbas was released. And Barabbas means the son of the Father. So Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, you're Barabbas, you're Bar Abba. You're the son of Abba. Does that make sense? And if you're a son, you're a full heir of what? Everything he's got. Is that good news to anybody? You mean, I got everything? Where is it? It's spiritual. When you believe it right, it's not enough. It's not, just believe the right thing. It'll start to manifest in your life. You'll start reprogramming your DNA. Guard your heart with all diligence. How far you get to go in life starts to expand, and it just becomes natural. Joseph Prince calls it effortless change. What is it? By believing the right thing. All of a sudden, things start looking brighter. Amen? Does that help you guys? That's what the whole thing's spiritual. The physical ones were supposed to show you the reality. Hey, if you believe this, this is what's going to happen in your life. And then we mess it up by going, yeah, but you sinned and you did this and he's not going to answer your prayer because you fought with your wife today. And I'm like, they're mixing scriptures. Don't, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You get Jack. This Christian deal's awesome. I can't wait. Right? What he's trying to tell them, go read in James, it says, to the 12 tribes, these Israelites going, listen, you can't get it by following the law. You got to get it by grace. You can't mix them. You can't divide these things. That's why he tells Timothy, rightly divide the word. Don't separate the old and new covenant. So we got people running around like, you got to be rightly divided and there's Satan. I'm like, you're screwing the whole thing up. You're screwing the whole thing up. Everything's for free by grace or works. The old, don't be double-minded, Jews. To the 12 tribes of Israel is what it says. Don't be double-minded because you won't get anything. Because a little 11, if I have to earn it at all, if I have to do any kind of works, it destroys the what? Everything. That's what he's saying. You won't get anything because you think you have to earn it. When you wake up in the morning and go, I get it for free. He loves me that much. Now I can freely receive. Does that help you guys? So don't worry about I'm distracted here and, oh, that's double-minded. It's not even what... I get so irritated by all these guys that teach this stuff because it hurts people. I wonder if I'm double-minded. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing this. Honey, don't be double-minded. It messes with people. Yet Jesus goes, my message is simple. You can be sure. So all of those things that are warnings, like, hey, don't fight with your wife because it's going to hinder your prayer. It doesn't mean God's not going to answer it. He can't. He's in covenant with you. He has to answer it. What it means is the whole time you could be just asking me for what you need. Instead, you're fighting about it. You're not doing what these scriptures are saying. That's why it's hindering your prayer. Your prayer life is simply ask and know that you have it because you're a joint heir. But if you're fighting with your wife, you're not asking. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're reprogramming your DNA, and then you guess what? I always fight with my wife, and you come into my office. He does this. He does this. I go, no. I get it. All right. Been there. Because you are sons, because you've been released, Barabbas has been released, the son of the Father, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out what? I'm the son of Abba. Now, if I'm the son of Abba, you're no longer a slave of the old covenant. You don't have to work. See, the old covenant was works. Hey, I got to work, but I get no result. Right? New covenant, you inherit. How do I inherit? By belief. So we have to have ministries that teach you what you have. Faith comes, the title deed comes when you hear what you have. When you teach people this will limit faith, you got to experience this, got to do that, it actually does the exact opposite of what they're trying to do. You're not receiving because of this. No, they're not receiving because they've been told there's an if-then. There's not an if-then in the new covenant. Everyone is yes. Focus on that. That will actually give you the title deed. Does that make sense? You mean that guy at work that irritates me? Why do things just happen to him? He doesn't deserve it. I'm so better. His heart freely receives it. He hasn't been to as many Bible studies as you to condemn you. I'm telling you, that's the truth. Why? You know what? The Bible studies need to tell you you're no longer a slave. You're a son, man. You don't have to work for this thing. You just have to simply believe it happened in heaven, and now all that's real for me. You guys get it? Okay. Then if you're a son, then guess what? You're an heir of God, the Father, Abba, the creator of the universe, the one who has all, he has the cattle on 1,000 hills plus 1,000 hills plus 1,000 hills. He's yours. How do I get it? Do this more. You're free from work. It's simple belief is all I'm trying to show you. They just mix up the old and new. I'm telling you, the new one is so good. Now, do I mix it up and mess it up? Every day. So I'm preaching it myself too. Does that make sense? So if all that's true, John 16:23, in that day, he's telling them, listen, all these things are going to be fulfilled. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. But after all the judgment of mankind's been taken care of, I rose for your justification is what it said. I died because man had to die to redeem them. Penalty for sin is death. When you see that Jesus' death was your death, you don't have to die anymore. He was me. He was my substitute. That was me on the cross. That was me in Hades with Jesus. But guess what? Once it was fully fulfilled, the penalty is completely reversed. There's complete reconciliation between God and man. He rose with newness of life. He was the firstborn of the new creature. When you believe that, you are born again into that family. Does that make sense to you guys? It's a spiritual transformation that happens. Hallelujah. And now when you die, you're going to get your glorified body instantly is what it says. Hey, there's going to be a time where you're going to shed this old tent and you're going to have the real one, the glorified body. Isn't that beautiful? Be sweet. You guys will actually eat hot dogs with me. So I'd encourage you to do it today. It's fun. So, John 16:23. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask, Abba in my name, the Father in my name. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, what's he going to do? See if your belief meter is higher than your unbelief meter. What does it say? You'll do it. Why? Because he can't deny himself. See, our faith's supposed to be in the faithful one. That's supposed to anchor your soul. I mean, I can rest that he's going to, this whole thing's going to be okay. Yeah, it might get ugly for a while. Because it says, listen, I'm a good father. I let you be chastised. That doesn't mean punishment. It says, you know what? Every father in the natural trains his kids. Like there's things Solomon probably doesn't like that we let him go through and make him do. Why are we doing it? Because we know once he learns it, he'll never have to go to that back to that spot. Does that make sense? We're training him up. We're chastising him is what Scripture says. It says, but here's the thing. The father will never give you anything you can't handle. He'll step in. Because in that very trial, I've given you the answer. Hey, you're going to go through this. It's okay. I'm going to let you go through it. But guess what? You'll never have to go back there because what's going to happen is you're going to increase your boundary. You're going to realize how faithful he is one more time. So the next time you go through something, because it says there's trials on earth, doesn't it? It says there's stuff. Stuff happens, right? Four-letter words happen on earth. And so he goes, listen, but guess what? I'm with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't allow you to go through anything you can't handle. And then, you know what that's going to do? Set you up for the real life. Where there's something in your life that is so big, so glorious, you got to go through some of this stuff so that you can eventually believe he's that faithful because what he's really got for you is something big. Does that help you guys out? And the faith teachers are beating you up over it going, if you had faith, this would happen now. No, you're being chastised right now. You're going through some stuff. I get it. Right? You guys help? If I gave Solomon everything, would that really help him that much? No. No. Are there certain things when I know he needs something, I'm a good dad, and he's not going to do this on his own? Of course I'm going to step in. I'll never let him go through things that, because I'm a loving father. And if we understand that being earthly, how much more is what it says our Heavenly Father, when you ask for a good thing, he's going to give you something bad. And it literally says, if you ask for the Spirit, he's not going to give you the law, the stone. Right? He's not going to go, hey, qualify. What's he going to do? Freely give. If you ask for the Spirit, the anointing that you're in the family with him, he's not going to give you a stone. That literally means he's not going to go, hey, qualify for it. Here's the law. See if you can qualify. What's he going to do? You ask him, he gives. You guys get this? All right. So until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, you will receive that your joy may be full. That gets so clear to me. Hey, you asked me, you require it of me, you demand it of me, it's mine, I got to give it to you. You can be sure in that. That should anchor your soul. You guys get this? I'm hammering this because most of you guys are coming out of hyper faith. They call it hyper grace. I go, you're hyper faith, man. That's why your family's a mess. It's why you're struggling with all these health issues and everything because it's condemning you. It's judging you. The law makes everyone sick and beggarly is what it does. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. So Philippians 4, be anxious. That means don't be separated. I'm just reviewing, then I'm going to finish the rest of the scripture today. Don't be opposed to a whole. When Jesus says, I give you my shalom, what does that mean? You're complete in me. Everything I have is yours. Not like the world does, that you got to earn it. Mine's, I give it to you. That's what that scripture means, right? It says, behold, I give you my shalom. Not like the world. The world means it makes you qualify for it. Mine's just free. You have it. Here. Isn't that beautiful? He does work in mysterious ways. That's pretty awesome to me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, instead of being anxious, hey, you're going through stuff right now, guys. What are you supposed to bring to remembrance? What? I'm in covenant with the baddest dude on the planet. He's got everything. And he loves me as if I'm the most righteous, beautiful, spotless bride in the world. So what's he going to do to me? Treat me like that. Isn't that amazing? So instead of being anxious that, hey, I'm not in covenant, I got to do this all myself, don't be a part. But in everything, how many things is in everything? Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Wow, Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not in this deal alone. Does that make sense? Let your request, that's a hetio. A lot of you guys, in fact, Katie Atkins just told me in Kalispell, she goes, man, the Holy Spirit was telling Kurt and I that for 3 weeks too. It's been the theme with Jeff Forrest and who else was it? Kathleen Doyle. They're like, man, God keeps telling us a hetio. I go, that's why I'm staying on this right now, because the Holy Spirit's moving, obviously, going, it's simple, guys. You're in a covenant with the King. If you require it, it's yours. End of story. No yeah buts. Doesn't that anchor your soul? Ha. And the irene in Hebrew, you would say shalom. So literally irene means to join together. So don't think that you're apart as a whole. That's why Paul kept saying you're complete. Every spiritual blessing is yours in heavenly places. How do we receive it? By believing that it's already ours. Not our level of beliefs, by simply believing. Does that make sense? We meditate on the right things until that becomes who we are. When we read books about it, you know, some of you guys have read The Slight Edge, etc. What did you do? You focused on the right thing enough until that became who you are. And just starts to operate naturally. Does that make sense to you guys? All right. So, and the irene, realizing you're in covenant, that you're tied together into a whole, that shalom of God, which surpasses everything we can even understand, will guard what? Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That he's me now. Does that help you guys? Now let's keep going in this scripture. 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, get some spiritual warriors together and let's take authority over this. That's what most people do. What does he tell you to do? Meditate on these things. Change your DNA until you start exchanging your border of your life. That becomes the real you. Renew your mind. Don't be conformed to this world where you have to do this and do this. Renew your mind. Does that make sense? Does this help you? Okay, and one more verse. 2 Corinthians 10:3. We walk, in fact, anybody have a King James Bible handy? Anybody have one? Yeah, Scott. Go look up 2 Corinthians 10. Let me just see if it has a heading on there. Does yours have a heading at 2 Corinthians 10? No? Okay. Mine says spiritual war. Now, if you grew up like me, what's spiritual war? Shundala, cast that demon out. Shundala, heal! Whatever. I've been through all of it. Fall down! If they don't fall, they push us a little bit. And eventually you learn to fall down. It's just fascinating. I see them falling down week after week after week, yet their lives are still miserable. What's going on? They didn't meditate on these things. They're warring, not understanding the war is over. Just believe the right thing. Does that help? So what does it say? But my heading says spiritual war, so I'm going to show you what this true spiritual war is. The war is believe the right things. All right. For though we walk in the flesh, that means we are flesh and blood. We're on earth today, are we not? It doesn't mean you watched porn last night, which is whatever all the charismatics think, right? He's in the flesh. He's doing this. No. No, you're missing it. They'll never get out of it by telling them that. What you need to tell them is you're righteous even when you're going through it. Be free, man. And then they don't worry about it. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning we're flesh, Jesus Christ became flesh. He became a human being. We have flesh. We have an outer court, a tent, right? All right. Though we walk, we do not war according to external things that we see. What do? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human. They're spiritual. They're not things that we can do. And the church for so long has tried to go, do this. My question to you is, how's it going? He's a spiritual warrior. He's a prayer warrior. I can probably tell you about his life. Because he's meditating on the wrong thing, in my opinion. He says, don't they realize they're already under my feet? Believe on these things. So, for the weapons of our warfare are not things you can do. They're not external. They're not carnal. But they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay? That's why it says, listen, grace and peace is multiplied in your life through what? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord and God. How many of you guys want grace and peace to be multiplied in your life? Go look for the man of God who prophesies and anoints you. It's not what it says. It sounds good. Now, here's where we get mixed up. Some of these guys, they've built that part of their life so well, when you're around them, you can feel it. Because that's their boundary. You can feel that 60 times more magnitude of their heart. They can feel the love of this guy. And so they get a response. It's not him touching you. It's not, you've all been anointed in the new covenant is what it says. Is that affected you a little bit. Does that make sense? And you guys know this it's so easy. Man, and when I get around those guys, I just feel good. Well, that just means we've expanded our boundaries. We believe different things about our lives that way, and it starts to affect you. Does that help? Okay, so casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself, where is knowledge? Where is knowledge? In our hearts and our minds. It's what we believe, really. Is that right? Bringing every thought. So where is the real stronghold? The stronghold. Because this is where people, and I get it, guys. You can give some people temporary relief by praying, and they pray that demon off them, etc. I'm like looking at them going, they're not demon possessed. They believe the wrong thing, and it's starting to manifest in their life. That's really all that's going on. So they might get temporary relief by us, but they don't get permanent relief. Permanent relief comes from believing the right thing. Right? Here, see, we teach this as kids, and that we get in church and we lose our mind. You can do whatever you set your mind to. Because you start to believe that, that becomes a reality in your life. Does that make sense? And then in church, we forget that, and we start going, it's a spiritual warrior. Bring this guy in, do that. Cast this out. I'm like, you guys are nuts. This whole, it's easy. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Believe the right thing. You guys get it? Okay, so bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of who? You? Ken, you probably agree with this, but Robert, if you were obedient more, then this would happen in your life. That'll kill you. What do we bring every thought to? By one man's obedience, I've been back into the family, and now everything's my inheritance. Hallelujah. The obedience of who? By one man's obedience. By one man's disobedience, you were cast out of the family and you died spiritually. By another man's obedience, you're back in. The veil's torn. Now you can call him Abba. We have the spirit of sonship. If you need anything, what do? Ask and it's mine. Meditate on those things. Isn't that what it says? Why do we say meditate on those things? Trustworthy, loyal, noble. If there's anything, set your heart on that. Why? Because you're literally programming what you can receive from him. We're spiritual beings, is what it says. We have to receive things spiritually. And we know this, guys. We receive to our capacity to believe it. And the world has tried to make it a level of faith. And they're close. That's why it's subtle. It's no, because now I need to do more to get my faith. And he's saying, no, you'll unwind your DNA. You'll create the new you. Everything's for free in the new covenant. It said you'll actually create your ability to receive it when you think on these things. Things are lovely, pure, etc. You guys get it? Okay, does that help? It's supposed to be good news. I know, because sometimes it's easy to judge ourselves right now going, man, I'm doing this wrong. All it's trying to show you is we are so fearfully and wonderfully created. Start seeing yourself how God sees you. He sees you as the spotless bride. He never sees any mistake you're making ever. Ever. Isn't that beautiful? Now we can, guess what's happening there? We're expanding our heart because that's the outer extremity or the boundary of our life. That's what we can receive. Amen? If these scientists can have some weirdos stand up there and reprogram their DNA by thinking good thoughts and humming, put some music on and some whatever they do, I don't know what they do. All they're doing is utilizing how fearfully and wonderfully created we are as the new creation. Does that make sense? Heaven met earth in us again. Adam lost it. Hey, now it's even better. Heaven and earth, where God meets man, is where? In you. Everything's in you. Because your spirit's perfect. What's the hindrance? Our mind, will, and emotions. Does that help you guys? Okay, so let's just end this now. All right, the spiritual warfare is what? Bring every thought to the captivity of Christ, to the obedience of Christ, not your obedience. That'll kill you. Because sometimes we're not very obedient, are we? And I hear ministers say that. I know I should be praying, and because you watch the Dallas Cowboys, he left and he's not going to talk to you again. Sooner or later, he'll stop knocking. That's not what my Bible says. That's what you say. My Bible says he'll never leave me. Hallelujah. In fact, he'll go, okay, we're going to watch the Cowboys. That kind of sucks, but Chad likes them, so we'll watch the Cowboys today. I'm that good that I'll actually watch the Cowboys. That's a miracle, right? he's a loving father. He goes, I just want to hang out with you. You want the Cowboys? It's good. That's my idea too. Amen? Right? You want to eat that thing? Let's do it together, man. Hallelujah. Let's party, right? That's our Father. He's that good. He's not going to go, well, you didn't do this, and you're obedient. You know what? If you were obedient, you took responsibility for that. Jesus took responsibility for it. Oh, you're that good, Lord? I'm that good. The goodness of God will start to change your boundaries, what you believe, and you start to experience him more and more. You guys get this? All right. So spiritual warfare. Hey, there's not one of you in here that needs me to cast a demon out of you. I'll just help you out. Now, you've believed things that have become strongholds that the medical community starts to label. They're bipolar. They're this. No, you're not. Well, the science shows this. Yes. If you go watch Carolyn Leaf's thing, it releases all these hormones and everything, and you start, that becomes your reality. I get it. It's so real to you that it's real. I understand that. But he says, here's how powerful you're made. If you think on these things, you'll actually recreate all of that. Hallelujah. You guys get it? And sooner or later, you go, I can't even believe that was me. Because I'm not even that person anymore. All of you guys have done that, right? I can't even believe that was me. Why? What did you do? You changed what you believed about yourself. It's that simple. Does that help? All right. So bring every thought to the obedience of Christos, not you. Your title deed, faith is the title deed of all those promises, is what it says, comes when you hear what? These kind of messages. When you hear the message of Christos, what he's done. So if you get into the word more without knowing that Jesus did everything for me, what's it going to do? The harder you try, the less you're going to receive. I've experienced it, guys. Man, I was kicking butt when I was a good heathen. I started doing Bible studies, and they told me how bad I was. In my life, I started to condemn myself. I go, geez, I'm just going to do fire insurance at the end, sweetie. I'm going to party like it's 1999. And at the end, I'm going to go, Jesus! And I had a fun life. Hey, you all know that's what you'd like to do every now and then, right? Don't give me this, I'm holier than thou. I would never let that touch my lip. You're baloney, right? I saw you guys, all the kids I went to Goody Two-Shoes in school, the minute they got to college, they were partying messes. I saw them because they were in, I saw them. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going, why didn't you do it in high school? Because we were too good. I'm like, you're, Mika, you ever see those guys? Oh, yeah. Want to pound them, don't they? Me too. So, but bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. They're children of God, Lord. I know they are. Still like to pound them. Anyway, so by Christ's perfect obedience. See, he knows that about me. Does that make sense? So I go, I'm still loved even though I have some of these things. You know, the things that make me ornery are religious people. Drives me nuts. I'm like, get off your high horse, man. You're no better than me. Amen? So, we are David's mighty men. That was a picture of what? Hey, the guys who thought they deserved it, did he use them? No, he used the misfits, the criminals, the this. He used Barabbas, you and I. We were guilty as all get out, but now you've become a son because we've been released. Hallelujah. And if we're Barabbas, if we're the son of the Father, we have the Spirit of the Father, what do we need to do in the new covenant? Not struggle, not fast, not get into the word more. He's my covenant dad and he's mine. Hallelujah. Does that help? So get to your feet. All right. Hey, here's how easy it is to become a Christian. Believe this stuff. Hear it until it starts to change you and it becomes, guess what? You start to experience new life. When you believe that, you know what? He set me free from all my sin, from everything. He was the Lamb, all that's talking about. He was my Redeemer. He's salvation. He's the one who fights the battles for me. He's my banner. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's El Shaddai. And he loved me so much, he died. He said, yeah, and after everything was settled, I could bring you back into the family. And now there's nothing that separates from you and I. So boldly come to me and ask for anything you need. And you know what you're going to find there? I'm going to show you mercy. Mercy means I'm not going to get you what you deserve. Hallelujah. Amen? What are you going to find there? Help when you need it. He's that good. Amen? When you believe that you're completely righteous, he's not mad at you. He loves you perfectly, like Les was saying. He loves you perfectly. I know it's hard to believe. That's why when you finally accept that, hey guys, I don't care if you're in your lowest low right now. He sees you as beautiful. He's got great plans for you. He knows that what he's got for you. It's awesome. He'll never judge you for what you're doing. If you think you're too old, too young, he goes, don't worry about it. I redeem time. It's not too late. It's not too early. Because you're one with me and I'm outside of time. I can make anything happen as fast as you need it. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? How do we receive it? Simply share in his goodness and let him know, let him love on you a little bit. Lord, you love me that much. It's amazing to me. Hallelujah. How many guys are starting to affect your life when you really just focus on how much he loves you? It's awesome. I'm hearing all your testimonies, right? Matt, we got some work to do, but. Matt got his ears lowered today. He got a haircut. So, he's good, isn't he, Matt? He's doing things in your life. Isn't it awesome? He's awesome, man. He loves Matt, even with the weird hair and the earring and everything else. He does. I love it. He knows I love him. That's why I can mess around with him, right? Yeah. You look strange sometimes, but at least you do have your hair. Yeah, at least he can put it in a spike. I can't. So, amen. See? That's good. That's good. I am jealous. Hallelujah. Put off that old man, put on the new man. Thank you, Father. Now, hey, I love Matt, so I can mess with him. Does that make sense? People that are so insecure, you can't mess with. They get, yee. So, Father, we just love you. We praise you. Thank you for releasing us. We're now Barabbas. Now we're sons of Abba. We don't have to weep. It says in anything, but by prayer and supplication, we just simply require it and ask it, and we can be assured that we have it. That's how it works. You love us that much. You're the faithful one. Our faith isn't in us. Our faith isn't in our own belief. We're persuaded by your goodness. That's what persuades us, that you can never deny your covenant. You died on the cross and said, this is my body, this is my blood. This is the thing that can bring back to your mind that we're in covenant with you. So we bring that to remembrance. Father, if they need anything, we supernaturally just touch their bodies right now in Jesus' magnificent name. But if they need something replaced in their body, just replace it in Jesus' magnificent name. God says, you're the great physician. You come with healing in your wings. Just heal every part of their body in Jesus' magnificent name. You love them that much. God, just let them cast down anything that thinks, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I need to have enough faith. Cast that argument down and bring it to obedience that Christ gave it to us for free. So, Father, we thank you for miracle ideas, witty inventions. Father, we thank you for the supernatural businesses, the supernatural careers that have come out of here. Father, we thank you that marriages are supernaturally restored in Jesus' magnificent name. I don't know if they're struggling because they've had marriages that didn't work, or I wish I would have done this. Let that be over. You don't judge them for any of that. In fact, you love them so much, said, I never want them to worry about my favor or blessing removed from them. That's why I hung on the cross, because I knew they were going to do that. They're human. So we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for peace in their mind. You know what? The doctors have diagnosed them with all kinds of crazy things. And the evidence shows it. You know, the chemicals are there. Everything's there. But you know what? Let them start to reprogram who they are. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. Let them focus on your love for them, that you see them as perfect. You don't hold anything against them. Now just let your love touch every part of their body there. Father, we focus on things that are lovely, true, pure, anything of virtue. That's where we change our focus so we can freely receive this magnificent inheritance that you love to give us. We just say thank you. And we just thank you for all the testimonies and people's lives that are changing, guys. The best is yet to come. Amen. We just thank you for that in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen, amen, amen. You're released. Hallelujah.